Is this thing on? What is happening, you beautiful bastards? No. Let's try. What's cracking, guys? Alice Poulos here. Not quite there yet. Let's try one more. Hey, how's it going there? Thanks for tuning into this podcast. This is still a learning curve for me, and obviously just pressing record is like the biggest shortcut to a burst of anxiety, but it's a good kind of anxiety. It's a kind of anxiety that makes you just keep moving and talking and talking and moving, and I could probably run a few laps right now, or really think I can, but stop maybe halfway through the first, just gassed, out of breath, tired as fuck, because I'm really out of shape. But this is the Tortured Artist Podcast. Woe is me. Hello, hello. And I just wanted to talk about a few things today, mainly the fact that I'm sorry if I've been bugging you. I'm sorry if I've been harassing you about this podcast. As many of you know, especially those who are close to me, and most likely if you're listening to this, you are someone close to me. So, thank you, and do know I truly appreciate it, not just via a text message that is just easy to send, and I'm sure everyone has gotten a message in their life, hey, please support me, God, I could really, really use your support right now, can you, or the better ones would be the models on Facebook asking you to fucking vote for them for a competition that means jack shit, nothing but a validation contest. And this is a bit different. This is more in the sense that I'm trying to pursue a passion project within a passion project. So when I say I appreciate it, do know it is from the bottom of my heart that I do appreciate it. I do know how fucking annoying it can be to go out of your way, open another app, go click subscribe. Leave a review, especially when you're in the middle of, like, jerking off or watching your show on Netflix or whatever the fuck it may be. I appreciate it. So if you've done that, thank you. If you haven't, you already know how much I appreciate it. So it would be greatly appreciated if you can do that now, during the podcast, after the podcast. And that's actually one of my favorite things about podcasts is the fact that you can do so many things while listening to a podcast. It's the only medium that allows you to multitask and not feel guilty about it. Unless you're like me and you want to obsess over the details and learn something, then sometimes you'll stop and take notes. Or sometimes you want to dedicate a quiet time to the podcast. But there's some freaks out there. I don't know who you are, but you exist. You're a special kind of podcast listener. You are the kind of podcast listener that likes to go to the gym and listen to people talk into your ear. And for those who have me currently in their ears, hey, it's pretty nice in here. Thanks. And if you're playing me through the speakerphone, that must have been really awkward. I apologize for that awkward mess. Moving forward, I just want to say that this is the first official podcast, mainly because I've prepared notes, and by notes, I've written down 3 lines. And really, I was just going about my day today, and I thought of the main topic that I want to talk about, which is everyone's favorite, Instagram. As I was going to Walmart in the AM to pick up some Febreze for the car, because those farts get pretty stanky pretty fast, I was thinking about the Instagram algorithms, and the algorithm that you're all familiar with, whether you know it or not, these are the comments that are left on your photos, the random likes you get from a fucking car detailing business, or a random, in quotes, actor who is trying to network in the industry and get their name out there. That kind of algorithm, the kind of algorithm that gets a comment on your page and just comes on and leaves a few emojis or write something really stupid like, great job, thumbs up emoji, when really not a single human being was behind that interaction. And it got me thinking. So on top of the fact that I really fucking hate these algorithm bots, and I have people who are involved in that business. I have two friends who are involved in that business of selling these algorithm bots to people on Instagram. And at this point, it's almost like steroids in sports. Everyone's doing it. The only way you're going to have an even playing field is if you fucking play along and you fucking juice up. Juice up your social media with this stupid algorithm system that's kind of ruined Instagram for me, and I think for many other people, especially as Instagram's internal algorithm itself with the out of order feeds, the preferential based system, which is all about how often you get searched up and who looks you up and who leaves a comment that's beyond four fucking words or not. There's so many things that are just ruining Instagram, and this algorithm is one of them. The algorithm is all about engaging with as many people as possible within a related industry that's defined by a set of keywords. So the way the process works is you give your Instagram account to this so-called revolutionary industry disrupting service, and that bot will use your account and comment on your behalf and like photos on your behalf based on a set of keywords you've provided to the algorithm owner, really, to put it simply. The fucking guy who claims to revolutionize everything, but really he's just selling what everyone else is selling and just repackaging it. And there's so many companies out there right now that it's kind of ridiculous to even think you're being revolutionary about it. Don't be delusional, please. And it got me thinking. So if everyone has already taken a shortcut for a social interaction, so let's take a step back for a second. Take a small, small step back. Social media. Keyword, social. Social interactions. Being social with other human beings on through a technological outlet and connecting with people. So I try to make an effort to comment whenever possible, not for marketing reasons, but because I genuinely have a comment. So if I think a photo's great, I'll fucking comment on it, and it will be my own two fucking fat thumbs writing that comment. If I leave a set of emojis, at least I know that I'm the one who fucking did it. And if I like the photo, I know which photo I liked. I didn't get a fucking robot to like it for me. And that really bothers me, but that also scares me. Because I'm just thinking, so today I had a friend's birthday and I almost forgot. If it wasn't for Facebook. But I think the next step in all of this is not marketing, but nothing more than a shortcut to social interactions, such as wishing someone a happy birthday. And I'm pretty sure this already exists. I don't know if it does or doesn't. I haven't looked into it that far. But what I do know is the idea of having a bot, or in quotes, AI, artificial intelligence, for those who are unaware, comment on your behalf, it's kind of scary. And I think the next step is going to be automated happy birthday messages that Facebook will allow you to enable. So essentially, a major social interaction between close friends could essentially be taken over by AI sooner than later. And I think this could go much deeper. I think we could have... if I'm not mistaken, there is already an app that already suggests what you should say in a conversation. So we're pretty much already fucking there, but I think the next step is for it to be mainstream and normalized. Just made out to be okay and acceptable. And I think that's kind of That's scarier than any dystopian future that I could think of, mainly because it's such a simple, hassle-free process to just say happy birthday or whatever else it may be. But that automated message is kind of already built into the system, if you will. So if you look at LinkedIn, it tells you, hey, this person got a new job. Congratulate them. And it already has a message written out for you that you could just press send on. The next step would be just automate it. And we're not too far from that. And you might be thinking, well, no, people will never give in to that. No, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to think where we've already gotten. I think the other scary thing to me is seeing my niece using an iPad. Seeing her get attached to that iPad. She is only a year and a few months, and she's already hooked on an iPad. And for most parents, that's going to be the norm. You can't really get mad at them, because if it's there, it's there. Any parents would do the same. So it's not a punish the parent situation. It's more so, what is this generation going to look like when they grow up with iPads from day one? Literally day one. Or being surrounded by technology since day one. And I kind of reflect on me growing up with technology, me learning a lot just based on how everything has been pushed out into the world. So from MySpace to Facebook to Instagram, Snapchat, and so on and so on. And I think we're the first generation to get that burst of social media. And I think the biggest thing that scares me is the lack of education and schooling. So, yeah, school is great and all, but do they actually focus on practical everyday things? So, such as the technology that we had in our hands and the fact that we got literally not a single lecture or lesson about it. And only near the end of high school did I begin to hear, what you put out there will stay there forever because the internet. And that is something that should be commonly talked about, but it's not. And I mean, now it is, but there's so many more aspects of growing up with technology that we need to learn about. So a big discussion that I always have with a friend of mine is about apathy and the use of social media. And the way he put it is the internet breeds apathy due to just the nature of the game, if you will. And I totally agree with the actual fact. I've personally experienced it myself. You get desensitized? Oh boy. First hiccup. Here we go. Desensitized. Give me 1 second. Desensitized. Fuck it. You get what I'm saying. Basically, you grow up with an overly... fuck. Can't talk tonight. You grow up with a flood of information. And you're exposed to so much on a regular basis, from social updates such as your friends going on a fucking hiking trip or someone getting pregnant that shouldn't be getting pregnant, or just news headlines just kind of being like constantly tuned in. And the idea of notifications is something that really just fucking scares me. And I think when you try to combat it, another interesting habit happens. You become a compulsive checker. So I think the people who have notifications are probably smarter than me, who are trying to fight it by disabling notifications on Messenger, on Instagram, and whatever it may be. But the ultimate thing here is you develop this sense of apathy towards everything. Experiences no longer hold the same merit and value as they used to. The idea of expression becomes so open for everyone. And I think that's fantastic. I think it's great. But there is such a lack of critical thought in today's generation, whether it's my generation, the one before me, or the one after me. There's a lack of critical thought. And I feel like people do not question things as they should. They don't question their own thoughts. I'm not perfect by any means. I'm not the most critical person out there, but I never assume absolute truth in what I believe. And I try to strive to be as open-minded as possible, given generic human nature biases and such. Just kind of allowing the doors to be open to both sides, if you will. So whether you want to talk politics or whatever it may be, just allowing the opposing voice to always have room to speak, whether that's internally or whether it's on your social media, and not following only conservative pages or following only liberal pages. I think it also goes towards art, bringing it back to the tortured artist. Whoa, it's me. Oh, no. Bringing it back to art, I think if you just expose yourself to one medium, and I think even within a medium, you can get looped in to a set limit of genres. So within photography, there is a world of portrait photography. And within the world of portrait photography, there is so many subgenres and so many styles, whether it's your everyday Instagram shooter, go out on the street, or put a girl by the window and take some pretty natural light photos, or commercial shots. There's so much out there. And the abundance is kind of scary, but at the same time, with that available abundance of just one sub-genre within a sub-genre creates this bubble that's bigger than we can possibly be conscious of while we're in. Because there's so many layers to this bubble that we only see one part of it. But little do we know there's so much more out there. And I think looking at this, the biggest takeaway here is this bubble is something that you can easily step out of. It is just as easy to enter as it is to exit. But to be mindful of that exit sign, that doorway, if you will, is the challenge, because it's easy to let your biases, your preferences, your life experiences, your overall perspective on life determine whether you even see that exit sign, determine whether you even see there's different genres of photography outside of your own preferences. Because once you open up your mind to, let's say, the possibility of enjoying other types of photography or other types of art or genres of music, so don't just think one thing here. This could apply to so many things, even politics or even news. Opening yourself up to different news sources while remaining critical is more important than ever, because there's such an abundance of it. But the misuse of abundance is, I think, the real issue here. But the inevitable sadness of it all is there's this level of apathy that will develop regardless of whether we try to prevent it or not. Due to human nature, overconsumption, when available, will happen, such as the use of the internet. And growing up now, it's pretty easy to see the next generation is already glued to their phones, worse than us, but really, in reality, are we even better? The same people, the same adults who criticize millennials are the ones who are still using technology, but through different mediums. So my dad, he'll talk about using the phone or me playing on the PlayStation back in the day, but him on his phone or him on his email is also totally acceptable. So there's obviously a bias within every generation. You try to pretend like you're better when really no one is no better than everyone else. And we're all in the same toilet that's about to flush, essentially. And I think that flush is just kind of the journey that we're about to go on. And that's as a society that's growing with something that we've never had before. And I'm speaking as if I am a wise old fucking 60-year-old man, but this kind of comes from listening to other smarter, wiser people than myself. You try not to acknowledge the inevitable sadness of the whole apathy situation here, but to think that it's not going to happen, you're only in denial. And I think it's kind of scary to admit to the truth like that. It's kind of scary to just allow the truth to literally sink in. And I had a back and forth about this conversation regarding apathy, because my biggest beef with the conversation, just because I like to play devil's advocate and I like to nitpick small things such as semantics sometimes. And one of the things that I nitpicked was the fact that the term the internet was used. The term the internet, like I described, can be a million possible things. And I don't think the internet is what is causing apathy, an increased amount of apathy amongst teenagers. I will actually get a proper resource to fully read up on this, educate you, if you will. So this is quite interesting. This is the Journal of Computer-Mediated Communication. More harm than good? Online media use and political disaffection among college students in the 2008 election. So I'm just going to read the abstract, because that's what we all do anyways. This study examines the ways in which online media influenced political disaffection amongst young adults during the 2008 presidential election campaign. The effects of social media attention, online expression, and traditional internet sources on political cynicism, apathy, and skepticism were evaluated using data from an online survey of college students. Results show that attention to social media for campaign information is positively related to cynicism and apathy, and negatively related to skepticism. Online expression has a positive effect on skepticism. Implications are discussed for the role of social media in bringing a historically disengaged demographic into the political process. So, within the bad, we already have some good. And I think, like I said, the abundance and accessibility, keyword here, to such information is fantastic. So when it comes to the political climate, it's easier to be informed, but it's just as easy to be cynical and jaded and just kind of, fuck it, who cares, nothing's going to change, which is normally the stance that I pick. So I'm more than guilty of this. Fantastic. But I think the demand for critical thought is more important than ever, because how are you supposed to distinguish between right or wrong when there's so much available? And as someone growing up with all of this, it kind of makes sense as to why I've never really enjoyed picking a side. It kind of makes sense. So I'm learning something for myself right now. Pretty cool. Nice. This is more therapeutic than I expected. Who needs a therapist when you could just buy a $70 microphone? This guy. But anyways, this is kind of helpful. Moving on, I'm just going to go back to my notes really quickly. Instagram algorithms is one thing, but marketing on Instagram is another. And I'm just gonna rant really quickly on this. If you are using Instagram as a marketing tool, so whether you're a personal trainer, a model, or whatever the fuck you are, if someone leaves a comment on your photo, so if a human being took the time to click the fucking comment icon, which is usually too damn small for my fat thumb, so I gotta click it a few times. Someone clicked that, goes to type out a comment complimenting the photo, the post, what you said, agreeing or disagreeing, and you respond with four emojis. And not four different emojis, but four back-to-back emojis. So, for example, the infamous props, the explosion emoji. Go fuck yourself. Because you are the scum of social media. You're the guy who's too cool for school. You're the guy who's too cool to acknowledge another human being. Just because you're using Instagram as a fucking marketing tool does not mean you gotta talk to people with fucking hieroglyphic... Yeah, that's the right word. Talk to people with just signs and fucking emojis. Say thank you. Use words. You fucking piece of shit. I hope this doesn't get me off iTunes. But use words. Nothing shows lazy. Nothing shows I don't care more than replying to people with four emojis back to back, and you know who you are if you're listening, if you even know about this podcast. And if you know of this person, if you've seen this before, pass it on. Tell them I said, go fuck yourself, Instagram guy. Fuck you and your lazy marketing habits. The world of marketing is toxic. It's superficial. It's all relatively bullshit. It's all based on impressions. It's all based on numbers that often don't necessarily mean a direct outcome. And I think a lot of businesses are misled when it comes to this shit, but that's a whole different topic. And I think just talking about this whole social media thing just kind of brings me back to my favorite show on Netflix, Black Mirror. Finding that show was possibly one of the best things I could have ever found on Netflix, and I'm so happy that it's gained the popularity that it deserves. It's one of those shows where it takes the dark truth of reality, spins it into a ball of entertainment. And it's the kind of show that'll grab you by the face, put you against the fucking couch, or the bed, or the toilet, wherever you watch your Netflix, and make you sit there till that episode is done. And oftentimes, leave you begging for more. Just how I like it. And I gotta say, I just wish there was more episodes to that show in general. The last season was amazing. The people who said, oh, it wasn't that good. Maybe your standards are too fucking high. Maybe your expectations are out of whack. Maybe you're not that good. Fuck you, random Facebook person. Fuck you for thinking that show was not that good. Especially the black and white episode. I'll be honest, it wasn't the most exciting episode of the season. And that's totally okay. I think the fact that it tried to do something different, especially with a bold move such as picking a black and white episode in a dystopian future, which is easily a platform that allows for a lot of colors and, you know, technology and screens and, whoa, flashy lights. Nope. They kept it super duper simple. Robot dogs, woman escaping, dystopian future, no one to talk to, imminent death, dark as fuck. And from an artistic point of view, it was one of the best lit episodes of the season, in my opinion. Every shot was beautiful. Every shot was well thought out. And you knew they were planning every shot with black and white in mind. And as someone who loves black and white photography, every time I pick the black and white option, or every time I go in a black and white direction with my photos, I always feel like, ooh, this is bold. I don't know many photographers who get hired off of a black and white photo. I don't know. I don't know if it's that common. And I'm pretty sure you can't just do black and white photos, because if I could, I would. It's very rare that I think that color is necessary. One of the main reasons why I always go for black and white. So, here's a little fun fact about me, House Photo, is picking black and white is the purest form of presenting light, because you're taking out one of the biggest visual distractions, which is color, and you're presenting nothing but the light which you captured. And I think within that light you can capture texture, mood, and so much more. And oftentimes, when it comes to portrait photography, you don't need color. You don't need, keyword, need. It's great. So let's say someone has blue eyes. That's always nice to capture. But guess what? They're going to look great in black and white, too. Anyways, I think this has been way rougher than the first episode. I think the idea of just talking into a mic is still kind of weird to me. And if you've gotten this far, if you've enjoyed this at all, I appreciate it. Thank you. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate it. And leave a review. Bye-bye.